Well, while the kids were away, Grandma and I had the privilege of keeping Logan and Jacob with us all week long. And so we've been on a strict regimen of pizza, ice cream, candy, and all those things that their parents will not give them. We met their need. Isn't it great to be grandparents? Well, after they went home last night, I looked at Cheryl and said, boy, it is awful quiet around here. Yeah, you get used to them. I took little Jacob, for those who don't know, Jacob is five, with me to the camp one day this last week, and Logan stayed with Grandma, and so I took him by way of the Columbia Gorge, and you meet Salmon Falls Road that way. It's a little longer, but it's beautiful, and I said, Jacob, get ready, Cape Horn, you know, Cape Horn, where Cape Horn is, and that beautiful, expansive view of the Columbia River Gorge. And I said, get ready, here it comes, here it comes. And so we turned that corner, and as we hit that piece where you can just look out over it, little Jacob goes, oh my, look at the ocean, that knocks my socks off. And I didn't have the heart to tell him it wasn't the ocean, but... I thought, the heart of a child, amen? And so that was a joy. So anyway, I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians this morning, if you would. We appreciate all of you being here today. Welcome our visitors. And I want to start a message today that I know I won't finish, but that we will continue next week probably. And so if you're not here next week, I'll know you just didn't like me. And I'm kidding. If you have plans to get away, go to the beach next week, you go ahead. I'm not bitter. If you wake up with flat tires, I didn't pray for it. Just understand that. But anyway, we'll start this morning and see how far we get. To me, it's an important message. It's a message that I believe the Lord has directed me to speak. From Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. These will be familiar scriptures to most of you. If you are a new believer, this may be new information. But for the most part, I'm talking about things that you've heard before. But it has just come to my attention by way, I believe, of the Holy Spirit that we need to reinforce these things and to encourage us to be reminded that we are, the title of this message, we are warriors. How many know we are warriors for the Lord? Amen? I'll talk more about that in a moment. But that's what I want to talk about, is being a warrior. Starting at verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or devices or schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And with those words, Paul the Apostle will bring his book of Ephesians, the letter of Ephesians that he wrote to the church at Ephesus, to a close. Paul the Apostle never claimed to be a prophet. Nowhere in his writings did he indicate that he had, nor did he desire, the gift of the prophet. It will be in the book of Ephesians where he will indicate that the church does have prophets, and they continue to this day, as he describes the fivefold ministry of the church. He will mention the importance of the prophet. It will be in the books of 1 Corinthians that he will speak more directly to the exercising of the gift of prophecy in its proper way within the church, as well as the gifts of the Spirit, including messages in tongues and tongues interpretations, etc., etc. But he did not claim the title of a prophet. But reading these words that were written over 2,000 years ago, you would have to say he fit the bill for one. These ominous words from the pen of Paul, which were inspired by the Holy Spirit, we must never forget that, are as much for today as they were for his day. They are as much for today as they were for his day. They are at the same time an admonition and a warning for the people of God. And as he speaks the words, I believe, of a prophecy, we see the words that he spoke coming true today. That if ever there was a time that God's people needed to be reminded that they are warriors, it is the way and it is the time in which we are living today. We are reminded. You see, spiritual warfare wasn't just for the ancient believers. It is for the modern believer of today. Spiritual warfare is a term that we need to become familiar with if we're not already familiar with it. Because in my opinion, and I do not confess to the gift of prophecy, but I do foresee a day coming when God's people must hear the clarion call of spiritual warfare if we're to see the battles won for Jesus Christ. And that's why it's so important to read this passage of Scripture that I believe is ominous even for today. We who hold the faith of Jesus Christ precious in this generation are called to be warriors. It can't be just the pastors. It can't be just the prayer leaders or those with the calling of intercessor. But the call to be a warrior is to every believer who lives beneath the shadow of the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? And that includes all of us here today who are followers of Jesus Christ. The 1911 hymn, one of the stanzas said this: "Rise up, O church of God, the church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to her task, rise up and make her great." During the Promise Keepers movement, they altered the words just a little bit and said, "Rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to her task, rise up and make her great." And on this Father's Day, I want to say to every man here, you are a warrior, and it's time for us to rise up and take that title of warrior that God has given us. Amen? Because the strength of the church needs to be the strength of the men and the women that are in it. And so rise up, O men of God. Rise up, O women of God. Her strength unequal to her task. The church can't do it without the warriors. And so we are called to be warriors today. And it's of the utmost importance that we be outfitted for this noble call. Thus we have the whole armor of God, or the complete armor of God. What is that? What does that mean for the average believer of today? We'll be talking about that as we go forward in this short series. Warrior. You see, if your idea of being a Christian is that you will just simply come into the faith and be forgiven your sins, and that all that is required of you will be to just show up at church and pay your tithe and to live peaceably and not cause any problems so that no problems ever come to you, you're going to be rudely disappointed in this Christian life. Hello? Yes. As a matter of fact, if you're a Christian and you're following Jesus Christ, you may already recognize the fact that you've got a target this big on your back. And it is a target where the wiles of the devil is continually trying to throw fiery darts your direction. Amen. How many have known that to be true already? All right? And if you say, hey, I didn't sign up for this, I don't think I want to be in this army of the Lord if that's going to happen, well, I'm sorry, but there's just one of two choices. You're in the army of the Lord, or you go AWOL, and believe me, I wouldn't go AWOL if I were you. Amen? Because how many know the Lord could come anytime, right? We are warriors. What does that mean, Pastor, that we are warriors? I want to go through this passage verse by verse, and I want to talk to us about what it means to be a warrior for the Lord. Now, you may not like the idea of warfare. You may not like the idea of guns and bullets and all of that, and I'm with you. I mean, I relish the day that the scriptures talk about when we study war no more. I'm all for that. But my friend, that will be in heaven. That won't be down here on earth. Believe me. There will always be wars and rumors of wars. Now, say, well, what about the millennial period and all of that? Well, you know, there again, there's some difference of opinion on that, but, you know, that might be a fulfillment of it there for you. But this I know for sure. However we look at that, when we get to heaven, we're not going to fight anymore. And we don't need our armor when we get into heaven. But until that day, we need to keep it on. Amen? Amen. Warrior. Warrior. Let's start at verse 10, and I want to talk about being strong as a warrior of the Lord, in the Lord's army. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. What does that mean to be strong in the Lord? Well, the whole idea behind this is the sense of soldiering. The sense of soldiering. And so when Paul said to them, I want you to be strong, he said, you can't be strong in your own strength, but you have to be strong in the Lord. That's where your strength really comes from, and in the power of his might. And so recognizing that our strength doesn't come from ourselves, but it comes from the Lord, then we have to ask ourselves, how do we get that strength? And we'll address that in just a moment. But there's no question as to the imagery in this passage. It is that of a warrior. It is that of a soldier. It is that of someone who's in the military. Paul's whole idea of referencing the armor of God is based on the soldier that he would be accustomed to seeing, and that would be the Roman soldier, the Roman legion, or the Praetorian Guard. And that's why he would use the illustrations that he uses about the belt of truth and the breastplate and the helmet and the sword and the shoes, etc. He is describing a properly outfitted soldier. And that's the imagery that we have. And so it's important that we understand that. And we'll get more into that as we go into this passage. But the very first thing that he says, I want you to be strong. And what's interesting to me is that as you read the book of Ephesians, we go all the way in the beginning of Ephesians to seeing someone who is totally outside the faith of Jesus Christ, and to see them brought into the faith through the sacrifice of Jesus. And then Paul unveils the mystery in chapter 3 of Ephesians and reveals what God's plan has always been, and that is for the Gentiles and the Jews to be united together in the faith of Jesus Christ. And then in chapters 4 and 5, he teaches us how we are to get along with one another, because as he pinpoints in verse 12 of our passage, our fight is not against flesh and blood. We don't have a fight with one another. Turn to someone and smile and say, you're not my problem. You're not my problem. Tell them, my battle's not with you. Come on, my battle's not with you. And that's what Paul was saying to the Ephesian church. He said, your battle is not with one another. And he would invest chapter 4 and 5 of Ephesians in talking to them about how important it is to get along with one another. But then he brings in chapter 6 this powerful passage of armor of God, because he knew that our enemy is not with flesh and blood, but we do have an enemy. And our enemy is in the spiritual realm. And that's why he talked about the spiritual realm, and we'll go into that further in just a few moments. But he said, you've got to be strong to be able to stand. You've got to be strong. And so the strength is important, and he uses the idea of a soldier. I'd like you to turn, well, before we do that, let me just say this. What I find is interesting is when Paul gets ready to leave the church at Ephesus for the very last time, he will found the church, and he will establish the church. But in Acts chapter 16, I believe it is, if I'm not mistaken, he will get ready to leave the church into the hands of worthy elders and leaders. And they will follow him out to the port where he will get ready to depart on a ship. And they will all kneel down together, and he will say to them, I'm leaving you, and I probably will never see you again. And they embrace one another, they hug one another, and then Paul gives this, again, prophetic insight when he says, there is coming a day when I'm gone that you will find that there will come in ravenous wolves that will try to destroy the church that has been set up here. Ravenous wolves that will try to eat and devour the sheep that are in your care. So you as elders must be on guard and be strong and stand strong and protect the flock of God, because mark my words, the enemy is coming your way. And did he say that to discourage him? No, he said that to warn them so that they would not be caught off guard. And my friend, I'm telling you today that that same wolf, that same devourer that tried to destroy the Ephesian church, and he did come. You read the book of Revelation, the first couple of chapters, and you'll discover the church at Ephesus left their first love because a devourer came in and they weren't strong enough to resist him. But I'm telling you today, the church must protect its members, the leaders, the men of the church. You've got to protect your home. You're the elders of your home. You're the leaders of the church. We've got to protect the church from the wolves that are going to try to take us out in the day that we're living. That's why we need to be warriors. That's why we need to be warriors. You say, how can I stand strong? I can barely stand up. We're talking about spiritual warfare here, right? And so he warns the Ephesian elders. He will go on, of course, and we know he will lose his life. We know the wolves will attack. But he says, I want you to be strong. What's interesting to me is what he says to Timothy. Turn, please. Keep your finger in Ephesians. We'll be back there in a moment. But turn to Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. He'll write to young Timothy, the young pastor, and he will say to him virtually the same thing that he said to the Ephesian church in his letter, be strong in the Lord. Look at verse 1 of 2 Timothy 2. You therefore, my son, what? Be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So he said, Timothy, you be strong. And then you teach other men to be strong. And then those men will teach other men to be strong. And those men will teach other men to be strong. And on and on and on it will go from generation to generation. And I believe that today it is just as much our responsibility as it was for Timothy that we men that are strong ought to be teaching other men how to be strong so they can stand in the face of the enemy's onslaught. And not just men, but women as well. Be strong and teach other women how to be strong. Teach men how to be strong. Young men how to be strong. Teach them to be strong. We learn to be strong and we teach others to be strong. That way we have a strong church. Amen. So he says, Timothy, you be strong in Christ Jesus and you teach other men that are faithful and then they will teach others. And on it goes. Look at verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good, what? Soldier of Jesus Christ. That's why in Ephesians 6, and he gives the idea of an armored soldier, it's not unusual. Paul will use this metaphor in a couple different places. He says, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a, what? Soldier. Who enlisted him as a soldier? Jesus did, didn't he? Who enlisted you and I as soldiers? Jesus did, right? Right. He enlisted us as soldiers. You say, well, when I gave my heart to Jesus, I didn't enlist as a soldier. Then you got drafted. I don't care how you look at it. When you gave your heart to Jesus, you became a soldier. You say, well, I want out. I'd be very careful about that if I were you. Be very careful. Amen. You go back to where you were, and the Bible says you're like a pig that returns to the mud or a dog that returns to its vomit. Just remember, the world you came out of, they're not going to like you because you left. So really, folks, we only have one choice. Amen? We get in the ark and we stick with the ark no matter how bad it stinks in there because of all those animals. Hello? Amen? We are soldiers of the Lord. We are soldiers of the Lord. And we are to be strong. Now let's carry this a little further. Look what he said in verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. I'll take that, Pastor. I don't want to be a soldier, but I'll be an athlete. No, we don't have a choice. It's not what he's saying. He's saying you are a soldier first and foremost, and like an athlete, you've got to stay in shape, right? Now, I've never been in the military. I honor those men and women who have served and are serving in our nation's military. But one thing I know about the military that I've heard from everyone been in it, there's a big emphasis on being ready physically, right? Mentally, you know, the idea of being prepared physically and that kind of thing, that training that is important. Well, Paul says, as a soldier, like an athlete, you have to compete by the rules. And then he goes on, look at verse 6. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Oh, well, I'll take that one, Pastor. I don't want to be a soldier and I don't want to work hard like an athlete. I'll be a farmer because they don't have to do anything. Next time you sit down to that meal, you thank a farmer. Amen? Some of the hardest working people we know are farmers. But a farmer, and the allusion to a farmer here is simply patience. That is that a faithful farmer will plant the crops, and he'll be first to partake of those crops, but he's got to plant them, and he's got to be patient. And so soldiering, it requires like an athlete to be in shape and to stay in shape and be ready for the war that's coming, and like a farmer, be patient and always be understanding that you're prepared at any point to do whatever it takes to get that crop in. And then in verse 7, I think there's a little secret here. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. I think what Paul was saying is just consider this idea of a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer, and get a sense of what I'm trying to say to you. And I think the sense of it is that we are warriors, and that we must be fully committed to the one who called us into this warfare, and that is Jesus Christ. And not to be entangled in things that would take our attention away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean we can't have families and homes and jobs and all of that. We do. But our main focus has got to be on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's got to be the important thing, because he's the commander in chief. And we are the soldiers. And so to the soldier, Timothy, he said, be strong, stand strong. And finally, back to Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. How can we be strong in the Lord? I'm going to give you three things that help me in staying strong in the Lord. I think they will help every believer in staying strong in the Lord. This is not a complete list. There's other things that we should do, but I'm going to give you three that are pretty common, but I think they will, at the end of the day, they will help strengthen us every single day. Number one, how do we be strong in the Lord? We spend time in God's Word. We spend time in the Bible. We read it. We read the Bible. There's life in this book. Amen? And you can read this, and whether you read a chapter, a book, a verse, or whatever it is, every time you read, it's like taking a bite of food. It is strengthening your bodies. Amen? Strengthening your bodies. I had some blood work done the other day, and I'm a little low on the potassium thing. So bring on the bananas, bring on the cantaloupe, and bring on the pomegranates. And I just heard a rumor the other day that there's an incredible amount of potassium in Payday candy bars. So bring it on. Bring it on. But how many know there's vitamins and minerals to be had in the precious Word of God? Amen. It's the balanced diet. So we read it. We learn from it. And we help it. It is a way to help us be strong. We read passages. They may not mean anything to us at the moment. But listen, every time you read something in the Bible, it is strengthening your body, right? It doesn't happen like Popeye used to. You remember Popeye would open the can of spinach, pop it in, and bang, bang, bang. He would mutate like the Hulk. He would just get big all of a sudden. That's not the way it works with God's Word. You read it, and it strengthens us, but a lot of times you don't even see it happen. You don't see that you are stronger until you run into a situation where you need that strength, and guess what? You go, wow, I handled that. Why? Because you have been digesting the Word of the Lord. Amen. So it is one way to be strengthened in the Lord. Number two is prayer. Spending time is prayer. As a matter of fact, what's interesting on the seven elements of the armor of God, the seventh one is prayer. And it seems to me that the seventh one envelops all the others. And we'll talk about that when we get there and the power and the importance of prayer for the armor of God. But for our sense right now, it is one way to be strong, and that is to pray. Now, sometimes we're afraid of prayer because we don't understand prayer. We have some expectations of prayer that are unrealistic, in my opinion. They're not realistic at all. We think of prayer and we think, well, you know, to be effective in prayer, I need to pray every single day, 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day, and you know, I got to pray like somebody else prays. I need to pray like Pastor prays or Penny, our prayer leader, prays. And so we get this concept of prayer, and it discourages us because we think, I can't do that. I can't do that. But that's a misconception, folks. Prayer, listen, prayer is powerful, and prayer makes us strong, and it doesn't have to measure up to anybody else's level. It's you and God talking together, because every time you pray, you're talking to God, and whether it's a short time or a long time, you are strengthening your spiritual body, your spiritual life when you pray. Hallelujah. You pray. I know I've heard people scoff at the idea of teaching children to pray. They're not old enough to understand the words. They're not old enough to understand the concepts. They're not old enough to know really what they're doing. Oh, poppycock. Is that a bad word? No, that's a food, isn't it? That's that popcorn stuff. It's loaded with potassium. Let's get some of that. Come on. No. We need to teach children to pray. Because it's strengthening those children. You say, well, they say the same things over and over again. Well, don't you? Jesus, help me. 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 Even that simple of prayer is strengthening us. Now, as we mature in the Lord, we shouldn't stay there. Amen? I mean, I can't remember the last time I had a little jar of Gerber's baby food. I think I threw up the last time I had some. Except the peaches. Aren't they wonderful? It's like, oh, it's great. I'm getting off. Is it lunchtime yet? Oh, the stock of food. You don't stay at that level. You increase in prayer. But my point is this. To be strong in the Lord, we need to pray. We need to pray. And children can pray. Young people pray. You can pray, and if you're a first-time Christian or a new Christian, you can pray. Doesn't matter what you're saying to God, just talk to God, because every time you talk to God, there's a strength coming in you. There's coming in you, and you'll know it when you have to face some challenges in your life. And so prayer is such an important part. We're going to talk more about that later. And then thirdly, the way we'll be strong in the Lord is through worship. Eddie said in first service, worship isn't just singing. But it's a big part of it. And when we come into worship, when we enter into worship, it is strengthening our lives. It happens in the sanctuary. When we worship together as a body of believers, we are being strengthened. Believe it or not. You may not even know the songs, but you are being strengthened. I go to a lot of different churches in my role, and I go into churches and I have never heard some of those songs before, but I do my best to sing them because they're strengthening me, right? I go to some churches that are non-Pentecostal churches, some very denominational churches, but they sing some wonderful songs and I do my best to sing right along with them because they're theologically correct. And because they're bringing strength into me. And I love to enter into worship. There's something about coming into worship and music. There's something about coming into the presence of God through worship that brings strength to you. And my wife, I tell you, she's got this bass covered. She's got her little phone full of songs and whatever it is. She's got songs everywhere. And she gets up in the morning and she turns on the songs. And I come home in the middle of the day, she's got songs playing. She's got songs in her car. I don't know why she took it off my news channel, but she's got songs in her car and they're playing songs everywhere. Why? Because it brings us strength when we come into the presence of the Lord. Amen. And it doesn't matter what brand you like. It doesn't matter what style. If you like the old hymns, I love the hymns. Phil and I were talking about the other day. They're wonderful. That's great. If it's the contemporary stuff, that's great too. You know, Christian rap's a little hard to take, but I can even do that with the young people. That's okay. If it's inspired of the Lord, it's wonderful, and it brings strength to you as you enter into the presence of the Lord. Now, some people have said, well, do that and never listen to secular music. I'm not for that, because every now and then a guy's just got to listen to Sherry Baby. Just sometimes you just got to listen to the 50s. Because it has potassium in it. You get strong in the Lord when you enter into His presence. Amen? You enter into His presence. And you don't even have to have the music going. You can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And to be honest with you, some of you men, you have got splendid voices. I hear you sing and I think, God, you took all the good talent and you gave it to them. And then some of you guys are like me. We couldn't carry a tune in a bucket and we don't even have a bucket. But guess what? It doesn't matter, because the Lord said, make a joyful noise. Amen? And there's nobody better at making noises than men. Hoo-ah. Hello, get with me, man. Amen. So even if you don't have the music, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And what will it do? It will strengthen you. Be strong in the Lord through the Word of God, through prayer and worship. Let's go to verse 11 and 13 and 14. Notice what he does here. We're going to skip verse 12 on purpose, and then we'll go back to it. Look at verse 11, 13, and 14. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? To stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. Stand. Look at verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Because something's coming at you. You're standing, and when it comes at you, you're going to withstand it. But you're still standing. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, what? To stand. Verse 14, stand therefore. Did we get the string there? Get the idea? Okay. Stand, withstand, to stand therefore. The whole emphasis of being strong of the Lord is so that we can stand. So we can stand up. Now there's coming a moment when we're going to kneel. On July 1st, we're going to be together on that Sunday. It's called Call to Fall. And as we have in the last couple years, we will join churches across this nation who have said, yes, on July 1st, we will fall to our knees and we will call out on God for the needs of our nation. We will do that here. And whether we can physically kneel or not, or whether we take a posture of kneeling in our heart or in sitting in our seat, we will in this, both first and second services on July 1st, we'll take some time to fall to our knees, call out on God, and ask Him to help our nation. How many know we need to do that as a church? Amen. We will call out on God on our knees. But Paul did not say here, I want you to fall on your knees. He said, I want you to what? Stand. Because this is battle time. This is warfare time. You're a warrior. And a warrior is most effective when they are standing. When they are standing. Stand, withstand, stand, etc. Withstand. On and on and on he goes. Standing. I'm not a big boxing fan, but, you know, I've watched some of the new stuff and, you know, that's where they box and they kick and then they fall on the ground so they can trip the guy and then roll over on top and then beat him up a little bit. And, you know, there's blood everywhere. And then, you know, the referee said, that's enough. And they just pulverize the guy and they get up and they hug. And that's fine, you know, for those who like that. But I guess I'm old school where, you know, two guys in the ring and it's important to stand. And so the boxers stand. I don't know much about it, but I know this, that when one guy falls to the ground, the count starts. One. Two. Three. Four. Five. Six. Seven. Get up. Eight. Come on, get up. Nine. Get up. 10, you're out. And my fear is that many of God's people have hit the mat and we're not about to get up. And we're going to find ourselves out. We have got to stand and get up if we get hit down. We've got to get back up before the 10 count because we are warriors and we can't afford to lay on the mat. We've got to get up and stand in Jesus' name. Amen. Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will be right there to help us up. As a matter of fact, boxing was known in the day that Paul writes, and he will allude to that. I believe it's in either the book of Romans or Corinthians, where he says, I beat my body into subjection, referring to a boxing match. until it comes into the subjection of Jesus Christ. It's important that we stand. That we stand. How do we stand? We have to depend on the Lord to help make us strong. That's why we stand. If we aren't strong, we're not going to stand. Stand, therefore. Some of you remember, I think it was someone said, I couldn't remember, first service, someone said it was George Reeves. He was the Superman I remember. Was it? Yeah, it's or whatever. It wasn't Christopher. No, not that one. That's too modern. Got to keep going back to the 50s. The real Superman. None of this phony stuff. I'm sorry to the younger generation. Some of you remember him. If you don't remember this, just video or Google whatever, you'll find it. But there's a scene and Superman is standing there in a shack and there's a robber and his cape is there and Superman's standing there. What's the theme song? Don't feel like singing along with Mitch, do you? Come on. So here's Superman, and I remember watching this on TV, and he's standing there, and the bad guy's over here, and the bad guy's got a gun. The bad guys go, bang, bang, and he's shooting bullets. And Superman is standing here like this, and those bullets are bouncing off, bouncing off, bouncing off, bouncing off. Superman's standing there, bouncing off, and the guy, click, click, he's out of bullets, and he throws the gun, and Superman ducks. Really, it happened. So you can deflect the bullets, but God help me if that gun hits me. I mean, think of the damage that that gun can do. Let those bullets fly off, but boy, if that gun hits me, that could leave a mark. Anyway, it's probably one of those bloopers. You know what I fear? I fear that the church has took the bullets, and when the enemy throws the gun, we duck because we're afraid of the gun. That gun isn't going to do us any damage. And I think the gun is our culture, is the lie that says you stand and you'll be destroyed. Your church take a stand and you'll be destroyed. They throw the gun and we duck out of the way. But I want to tell you now, the Bible says we've got to stand. And if we're going to make it, we've got to stand. As Christians and as soldiers for the Lord and as the church of Jesus Christ, we've got to stand. Let the gun be thrown. We're not going to duck for the gun. Amen. 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 Stand. Stand. Why? Because we have an enemy. Why are we soldiers? Because we have an enemy. You know, we can... I want to be careful how I approach this. We can stick our head in the sand and pretend like that there's no problem. But I've always thought to myself, when you stick your head in the sand, you're really kind of vulnerable in another place. The fact of it is, folks, we have an enemy. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, the devil goes about like a what? Seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. We have an enemy. And his intent is to devour. He wants to destroy you, believers. The devil does. And we're to resist him by standing. Look at verse 12, please. And I'm just about done. I know you have Father's Day plans, as we do, and so I'm not going to go beyond noon, but I do want to finish this point. Verse 12. Okay, just recap. Verse 10, be strong. Verse 11, 13, 14, stand. But verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Turn to someone, please, and say, you're not my problem. You're not my enemy. You're not. We don't fight flesh and blood. That's not the enemy. But we do wrestle. We do fight against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. In other words, in the heavenly realm, we have enemies. It's the devil. That's where he goes about seeking whom he may devour. We do wrestle against that. And we'll talk about that more in another message when we get to the armor. But what I want to point out now is that people are not our enemies. Even people that we don't agree with. Now, in nationalism, that is not necessarily true. But I'm talking about spiritual warfare. I'm talking about Christians. I don't care if a guy is sitting right there in the front row and he is diametrically opposed to everything I stand for. Everything. He doesn't believe like me at all. As a matter of fact, he's pretty vile in the way he believes. He is not my enemy. We are both human beings. And I have a responsibility, according to the Bible, to be at peace with him as much as lies within me. All right? Look at Luke chapter 14. This perhaps is one of the most important passages, I think, that we can read on this subject. Luke chapter 14, verses 31 and 32. Jesus is talking about counting the cost before you decide to follow Jesus. And he uses two illustrations. One he uses about a builder and says when you get ready to build a tower, who doesn't stop and consider the cost lest he starts and doesn't have money to finish the building? And everyone laughs. But then look what he says in verse 31. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Now, what Jesus is talking about is counting the cost. And he says, it is only common sense that a king, before he goes to battle, says, can I win this? And if I can't, then let's send an adversary, let's send an advocate and sue for peace. Now, when it comes, let me just say this. Catch this clearly. When it comes to another human being, we got to be like this king. We've got to sue for peace as much as we can. But when it comes to the devil, we can never and must never ever think we can make peace with him. Because it is impossible for him to make peace with us. He is bent on destroying us, and there will be no peace with him. Look at Romans 12, 18. Look at Romans 12, 18. It'll be on the screen. If it is possible, As much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. As much as it depends on you, you do your best to live at peace with all men. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews 12, 14. It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one shall see the Lord. But pursue peace with all people. Not just some people. Not just with people that agree with you. Not with just with people who look like you. Pursue peace with all people. With all people. That's our responsibility with people. Because we do not battle flesh and blood. Amen? We don't battle flesh and blood. Several years ago, sitting right over here, two individuals who I know, who I absolutely know, opposed everything that I believed on a certain issue. When they came, they found peace with me. Because they're not my enemy. My enemy is the devil. And to this day, I can meet them anywhere. And I can embrace them and smile and honestly say, it's good to see you again. Because I am to be at peace with everyone as much as lies within me. But I'm telling you this, my fear is that the church has tried to make peace with the devil by compromising their standards. Yes. And that must never happen. Because someone asked me one time, will the devil ever get saved?
No.
They were serious.
No.
And I said, it'll never happen. God won't save them. I said, it has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with the devil. It was the devil and his fault that he was cast out of heaven in the first place. And he vowed to destroy everything that God would ever have. So no, never will. As a matter of fact, the devil is bent on destroying everything that God stands for. And that's why the church and believers must never compromise with the devil, must never compromise your standards. This must be the last word in the conversation. The devil will never stand for it. This is what we got to hold on to. That's why we're soldiers. That's why we're warriors. Because we have a devil that will never, and he will always relentlessly pursue us to destroy us. But in the end, we win. Amen? We win. Amen. 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 Praise God. Let's stand together this morning. This will be continued. To be continued. Boy, time flies when you're having fun. I'm having fun. But I need to go get some potassium. So. Jesus, thank you for the call to be warriors. Help us to be strong in the Lord. Help us to stand firm. Help us never to compromise with the enemy. Lord, you have promised us you would never leave us nor forsake us. Psalms 27 promises, though a host encamp against us, and my enemy make war against me, I will not fear, because you are on my side. Help us, Lord, to remember we are called to be warriors. In the next few weeks, we're going to learn what that means with the armor of God. Lord, help us to be strong by reading your word, by praying, by coming into worship, into your presence. Lord Jesus, help us not to be afraid of the battle. Help us not to duck when the gun is thrown, but to stand strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We are warriors. And because we are, we will follow the captain of our faith. And you said in your word, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Thank you, Jesus. Bless this day. Bless your people. Strengthen us because we have looked at your word today faithfully. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Let's thank the Lord for his word today. Amen. 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 Blessings to all of you. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next Sunday.